Will be the second funeral that I've been involved in this week. You know, we got to go over and have a little bit of a celebration. I'm gonna call it a celebration because it was Lois, you know, and Sister Lois was, she knew the Lord. She's like Betty. She knew the Lord. And you know, it's sad when people go on to the other side because you're going to miss them physically. But my goodness, we should be jumping up and down with joy because they're in the presence of the Lord, and in His presence there's fullness of joy. There is no sickness. There is no loss of mental capacities. There's no anything like that. There's no crippledness. There's nothing else, you know. I had something that I wanted to read to you, a couple of things I wanted to read to you before we get into the Word. I'm not going to speak for a real long time today. I'm going to keep it kind of short. You know, this little story here, it says, Sophie had been praying for 12 years to become a foreign missionary. And one day, she had so prayed that the Heavenly Father seemed to say, Sophie, stop. Stop praying about this, basically what He was telling her. He says, where were you born? And she said, in Germany, Father. You know, sometimes God talks to you, and when He talks to you, He gets right to the point. He said, where were you born? She said, in Germany, Father. Where are you now? In America, Father. Well, are you not a foreign missionary already? Then the Father said, who lives on the floor above you? She said, a family of Swedes. And above them, why, some Switzerland people. And who in the rear? Italians. And a block away, some Chinese. And have you never said a word to these people about my son? Do you think I will send you thousands of miles to foreigners and heathen when you never care enough about them at your own door? Speak with them about their souls. And I'm going to tell you what, all you brothers and sisters from Africa, you're missionaries. You're in a different country. And you know what? Your testimony, you can tell people things that went on in your country. And even you talking this morning, Sean, about, you know, about the, well, you too, talking about the witchcraft and things that go on. We don't see a lot of that in America. I mean, there are some, and it's getting more than it used to be. But I tell you what, you can witness to the power of God as people's lives get changed, you know. And I tell you, you guys are missionaries. You're missionaries here in America. Praise God. This other one I've got here is called the Finger of God. And you know, during a season of revival, a friend was praying one evening for a certain unconverted neighbor, you know. And after this manner he prayed, O Lord, touch that man with thy finger, and touch him with thy finger, Lord. The petition was repeated with great earnest when something said to him, thou art the finger of God. Whoa. And you know, sometimes we're looking for somebody else to do what God's telling you to do. And I tell you what, don't put it all on the preacher. Don't put it all on the minister. Because you know what? You're all preachers. You're all ministers of God. Every one of you is just as important as anybody else. You will see and speak to people I'll never see and speak to. And you know what? Become the finger of God when He directs you. When He lays somebody on your heart. People used to come into church, and I think it's good when people come in with a prayer request. You know, remember my brother, or remember my sister, or remember what, you know, and so forth. That's right. But don't lay it down there, because God put it on your heart for them to be prayed for. You pray for them. That's one thing I loved about Betty. I loved about Lois, too. Yes. They were prayer warriors, buddy. They knew how to touch the throne of God. Betty used to come down here after church, and a lot of times she'd ask for prayer. And, buddy, we'd pray for her, and the Holy Spirit would get all over her sometimes. I mean, you know, a couple of times I think she went down on the floor, you know, because the anointing was so strong. But, see, she was a prayer warrior. She was asking for prayer, I think, so that she could go and pray for other people, because that's what she was doing. There you go. Praise God. Absolutely. Right. You know, and then, see, people don't understand sometimes. People are saying, well, you know, what's my ministry? What am I supposed to be doing? You know what you're supposed to do? Whatever God tells you to do. If He lays somebody on your heart, pray for that person. That's as much a ministry as anything else. And matter of fact, that's one of the greatest ministries, is interceding and praying for people. That is a tremendous ministry. You can't downplay that at all. I was telling them the other day when we were at Lois's thing. I told them, I said, you know, I said, one time me and Clyde went to see Jim in the hospital. Jim was sick. He was in the hospital. And we were talking. I said, well, we ought to go up and see him, Clyde, or whatever. And Clyde, yeah, let's go, you know. So we go to the hospital to see Jim, you know, her husband. So we walk in the door, and we said, Jim, we come up to pray for you. You know who got prayed for? We did. He ministered to us, see? And that, I'll tell you something else. When his kidneys quit functioning at one time, and his kidneys just wasn't functioning at all. He had to get dialysis. And he was going down to the dialysis place. And rather than sitting around there saying, oh, woe is me, I'm sick, I just can't believe it. He would go into the dialysis place and start praying for everybody else in there. And you know what happened? After about a year or so of him being on dialysis, he got healed. His kidneys started working again. You think God isn't moving, folks? He's moving, I'm telling you. And I'm going to tell you something else. When God lays something on your heart, don't lay it off on somebody else. Do what God's telling you to do. You know, be obedient. And if you'll be obedient, you'll get to see His mighty hand move. And sometimes you don't always see it, but He'll let you see it a lot of times, you know. Since we're talking about people that went to be with the Lord, when my brother was in the hospital, you know, he started telling me, he says, I've done some bad stuff in my life, really bad stuff in my life. And I said, Wally, I said, as you know, you should have called him WL. That's what I always called him all the time. But I started calling him Wally because that's what he was at work. And I worked with him for years. So I said, Wally, I said, Jesus forgave everything that you did on Calvary. I said, you've been forgiven. You don't have to feel condemnation. I knew he had, when he was younger one time, he gave his life to the Lord, but he backed away from that walk with the Lord. But he knew the Lord was real, because every now and then he would talk to me a little bit. And you know what? I had to walk very softly when I worked with him, because I would have loved to just told him all kind of things. But I only did it when God opened the door. Yes, only when He opened the door, see? And I had some good conversations with him a few times. And he knew God was real. I mean, we had a praying mother. And I'm going to tell you what, many a time we were sick or whatever, and she'd pray for us, and we'd get better all of a sudden, you know. and you know, my mother was a prayer warrior. She was one of them prayer warriors. And she'd sit and listen to people on the phone, and they'd be telling her all their problems that they were having, all this and that, and she wouldn't say a word. She'd just sit there for a while, and then all of a sudden she'd say, "It's going to be okay, honey. It's going to be all right. God will," you know, and just encouraging, always encouraging, not dragging them down farther. You poor thing, you know, and all that. A lot of times we don't need to hear "poor thing." We need to hear that it's going to be okay. We need to think on the positive side of things, that Jesus will touch them. Every one of the people she was talking to on the phone was Christian folks. It was mainly her family. But she ministered to them all the time, you know. And I know, you know, talk about being sensitive. When me and Margaret was first married, Mother was very sensitive in the spirit. She had a very strong spirit of discernment. When we were first married, we'd be fussing or something down at our house. We lived about a mile away from her in an apartment building, you know. And we'd be fussing with each other or something, you know, arguing or something. We'd get a phone call. And she'd say, "What's going on down there? I was in there praying and God brought you two up before me." You know, and she says, "What's happening down there?" I'd lie because I wasn't a Christian, and I'd say, "Nothing, Mother. Everything's fine." You know, well, we were fussing like young couples do until they get to knowing each other and stuff. And, you know, I mean, we didn't physically get in fights or anything, but we fussed at each other pretty much when we were young. And you know what? But Mother was very sensitive in that thing. But, you know, that's the thing, folks. Do what God has you do. We were talking about back in Sunday school. We were talking about, you know, when you see a man overtaken in a fault, you which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. And we were talking about judging. And I read them the definition of what Strong's Concordance in the Greek says, judge not, lest you be judged, you know. And that's condemning and all that kind of stuff. If we judge, we should judge as to what Jesus did. We should start telling people no. If we see somebody and they're in a bad situation, we should start claiming that Jesus died for their sins, that he died to set them free. And we should ask the Lord, is there anything I can do to help make that happen, Lord? Or you want me to do something? And if he does, get up and do it and do whatever he tells you to do. And I'm just telling you, we need to change our modus operandi, they call it. You know, that's how you operate. And sometimes instead of operating like the scripture says that we're victorious, we're more than conquerors through him that loved us, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us, you know, instead of acting, falling down into mully grubs with them and poor me, poor me, poor me, we need to start talking victory to them. We need to start talking life to them. Because I tell you what, until we start doing that, we're not going to see life. You know, what did Jesus say to them different times? When he went to Lazarus, he called them little faith. You know, when he was out in the boat, he said, "Oh, you of little faith." You know, the storms were coming and all this stuff. What was he doing? He was laying up in the boat sleeping. He was a prince of peace. That you couldn't have sunk that boat if you'd have dropped an atomic bomb on it. It wouldn't have sunk. Because I'm telling you what, the Prince of Peace was in there. And what did he do? He stood up and he said, "Peace be still." And instantly there was a calm. And I'm going to tell you what, if we'll start proclaiming what his word declares, when we go into situations of great turmoil and great agitation and things that look way too big for us to do anything about, if we'll start acknowledging him as the Prince of Peace in that situation, even claiming those things that are not as though they were, because in the spirit they are. He is the Prince of Peace. We need to start claiming that. And you know what? When he said that, it said not only was there a great calm, but they were right at their destination at that point. That's pretty good, you know. So a lot of times, instead of us finding ourselves worrying about things that we have no control over in the natural, we need to give the control to who does have control over it in the spirit. Praise God. Hebrews 12:1-2 says this: "Therefore, seeing that we are compassed about by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame thereof, and is set down on the right hand of the throne of God." Philippians 3:13 and 15 says this, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press towards the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded, and if in anything you are otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you." And I'm going to tell you what, if you aren't thinking right, and you know, I think Brother Eddie used to say this, if you got to thinking in the wrong way, you know what? It needs to get cleaned up, and God is the one that can clean it up. We need to begin to proclaim what His Word declares. Quit proclaiming what we see with our natural eyes, like Clive was saying. We do that too much, folks. We do that too much. You know, I was going to tell you this story about this lady, and her name was Maya Rudolph. And she was an athlete, but she was blind. And she kept trying to run. She would run in races and things. And she was legally blind, and all she could do, she could barely see images. She couldn't see anything, but she could barely make out images out the sides of her eyes, you know. I mean, her peripheral vision, straight ahead vision, it was just basically gone. You know, that lady, she tried out for the Olympics, and she didn't make it the first time. And she ended up doing the paralytic Olympic thing. And she did really good in that. And she tried out in the regular Olympics again later on in her life. And she came in eighth place. Now, this is a woman that's blind. She's running a race where she can't even really see where she's going. But you know what? I believe that God was directing her. I believe that he was showing that even in a situation like that, and sometimes we feel like we're blind in situations. We don't know what's happening exactly. But you know what? God knows exactly what's happening. He knows exactly what He's doing, and He knows exactly what He's trying to accomplish in our lives and in the life of somebody else. I love what Brenda said, and I honestly believe this, and I've seen it happen many times with people who are getting ready to transition and go on to meet the Lord. You know, He will let them hang around long enough to where you are willing to let go. And once you really get willing to let go, then He'll take them. And He's doing that for you, not for them. Because as far as He's concerned, they've already been set free, you know. But in your eyes, you're saying, oh my goodness, I just can't believe. You know, we had Margaret's father when years ago, he went in for a hip replacement. And when he was in there, his lungs shut down. He had a collapsed lung. He had all kind of things happen to him. And I mean, he just got worse and worse and worse. And you know, so we're all over at the hospital all these different times. And they came in and they told us, you know, that they didn't think they saw any brain activity and stuff. Well, the Lord laid it on Margaret's heart, the song, "It Is Well With My Soul." And she'd go in there and she'd say to him, "Daddy, it's well with your soul. It's well with your soul." And they said there was no brain activity, but whenever she'd say that, tears would come in his eyes, roll down his cheeks. And, you know, just to show you how the Lord works and how he honors His Word, you know, Brother Eddie was the pastor back then, and he hadn't been to the hospital, and we hadn't seen him other than at church on Sundays, and he knew what was going on and stuff. And sometimes God don't always want the minister there. He wants you to be the minister there. You know what I'm saying? And sometimes we're thinking, oh, how come that preacher didn't show up or something, you know? Well, you know what? He wants you to be the preacher there. He wants you and him to be the majority there. And you know, he let him hang on for 30 days, you know, in critical care, where they were basically were saying, you know, that he wasn't there, you know. And, you know, like I say, the Lord kept giving Margaret that song, "Is Well With My Soul." And she'd say that to him when she'd go in there. And we'd go in the chapel, and when I'd go in there, I didn't know how to pray in there. I'll be honest with you. So I just prayed in tongues, and I just let the Lord pray out of me in tongues, because I didn't know how to pray. I didn't know what to pray for. I didn't know if God wanted to raise him up or wanted to take him or whatever at that point. But, you know, we went to church on a Sunday after God had given her that song. And we're sitting there, and guess what Brother Eddie preached that Sunday? The song about the song, "It Is Well With My Soul." And the guy who wrote that song, he lost some of his family. They were going over to Europe, I think it was, on vacation, and he was going to go later. And the boat sank. And I think a few of them were still alive, but he lost a big part of his family. And he got a back then it was a telegraph, because it was years and years ago. And he got a telegraph saying, "Come quickly. You know, there's been a disaster, you know." And he was in the boat going over there. And they were out in the middle of the ocean. And he said to the captain, he said, "This is where they went down, isn't it?" And the captain said, "Yeah, it is." And he went down in his cabin and wrote the song, "It's Well With My Soul." But see, God has a way of ministering to you in every situation and every circumstance if you'll just trust him and believe, you know. And, you know, we had to make a decision to turn off the life support on her dad, you know. And none of the boys would make that decision, so it fell on Margaret, you know. And, you know, they turned off the life support, and he passed away shortly thereafter. But, you know, I just tell you, when Brother Eddie preached that sermon, it was just like the Lord was saying, "You see, I knew all about this. I had it all in control. I gave you the song. I gave him the message to share about as well with my soul." And, you know, and that's the way God is. He will minister to you every time you really need ministry. He will confirm his word when you need it confirmed. And I just want you to know, folks, that no matter what's going on in your life or what's happening, he's always there. He's that friend that sticks closer than a brother. And, you know, in Hebrews 12, 1 and 2, and this is out of the Message, and this is that same scripture I read to you out of the King James. It says, "Do you see what this means? All the pioneers who blazed the way, all these veterans cheering us on, it means we'd better get up and get on with it." Strip down, start running, and never quit. No extra spiritual fat, no parasitic sins. Keep your eyes on Jesus, who both began and finished this race we're in. Study how he did it, because he never lost sight of where he was headed. That exhilarating finish in and with God, he could put up with anything along the way, even the cross. And I'm going to tell you what, no matter what's going on in your life, no matter what losses you take, no matter what's happening, God loves you. He knows exactly what you're going through. He knows exactly how to minister to you in that situation. And I love that even the testimony that you shared about, you know, he was getting you guys ready. And that's exactly what he was doing. Praise the Lord. And you know, when it was talking about running a race, you know, I'm going to close with this. When he's talking about running a race, I was talking about that Maya Rudolph. Lauren's boyfriend, he runs in marathons. And, you know, Casey runs he'll run in one marathon, and a few weeks later he'll be running in another one and stuff like that. And Lauren was running with him for a long time. And she ran in half marathons, and I think she might have made it through one marathon. But she was out there running too. And they eat healthy and they do the right things, you know, to keep their body in the right kind of shape. But it doesn't, and when you run in a marathon, it doesn't make any difference what place you come in, because you finish the race. And that's the important thing, you finish the race. And I tell you, there's a whole lot of people that start off to run a marathon that don't finish the race, that they only get so far and then they quit or they can't do it. But I'm going to tell you, we've got a race that's set before us, and we have an ever-present help in time of need who's finished the race already for us if we'll just claim the victory that he's already won for us. Praise God. If you all stand, we'll close in a word of prayer. That's all I had to share with you today. I know this is kind of short, but that's okay. That's what it was meant to be. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for your words. They truly are spirit and life. I thank you, Father, that you've set this race before us. And we know that we were already victorious in this race because of what you did on Calvary. And because of that you've made us more than conquerors. You've made us kings and priests unto God. You've made us a lot of things, Father, if we'll just come up into the reality of them and begin to believe the reality of them. And Father, I just thank you. And I ask you to continue to minister to all of the people who've lost somebody. And I just thank you, Father, that you are life. And they step through the veil of this life into life with you. And I just give you all praise, all glory, and all honor. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. God bless you all.